It's impossible to mistake St. Paul's Outside the Walls for anything but a pilgrimage church. First of all, to get there, you have to walk a mile outside of the city walls. It's placed along the Via Ostiense, the road that leads out to the sea, and it's flanked on the other side by the Tiber River. In many ways, it seems like a fitting place for the super pilgrim, St. Paul, who walked thousands of miles in order to preach Christ crucified to the Gentiles. Hi, I'm Liz Lev, and I'm an art historian, and you're listening to the podcast From Tourists to Pilgrims. Now he lies between two major pathways, the road and the river. This is the site where St. Paul's body was brought shortly after his execution in 67 AD, circa. It was buried in a relatively simple burial ground that was small compared to some of the more fabulous burials along the Appian Way. When Constantine constructed the first church, he chose not to buy more land to make it very large, like that of St. Peter's or St. John Lateran. Instead, St. Paul's was the smallest of these first churches. But pilgrims changed all that. The number of pilgrims that arrived with the legalization of Christianity into the 5th century made it clear to the emperors that the Church of St. Paul's Outside the Walls was too small to contain the number of people who wanted to pray by his remains. Therefore, the four emperors, Honorius, Arcadius, Theodosius, and Galla Placidia, decided to rebuild St. Paul's, and it became the largest church in the world during the course of the 5th century. It was also considered the most beautiful church in the world because pilgrims after pilgrim after pilgrim had left beautiful works of art, donations, so that the church over the course of the centuries was filled with art by everyone from Pietro Cavallini to Lavinia Fontana, the first professional female artist. Accentuating its nature of pilgrimage was the covered walkway that departed from the walls of the city and extended right up to the atrium of the church. So the pilgrims making that mile trek, they would meet, they would talk, they would pray, they would share Paul's church, bringing people together. Famous pilgrims made their way to that church. It was before the wooden crucifix that Bridget received the promises of Christ. It was around the icon of the Madonna that Ignatius and his companions made the first vows to form the Society of Jesus. That space has drawn pilgrims and inspired pilgrims for centuries. The amount of beautiful works that were given to it were enhanced by the presence of the Benedictine order, who have had that church as a monastery for over 1,000 years. The bronze doors were commissioned in 1070 from Constantinople by Pantaleone, the Council of Amalfi, and brought to become the great processional doors. The granite matching columns, the mosaics covering the apse, everything was geared to transport the pilgrim into this stately space made for them. But in July of 1823, all of that glamour, magnificence, and beauty went up in smoke as a fire started in the church that raged on for several days. St. Paul's, the custodian of the tomb of the preacher to the Gentiles, was now in ashes. At the exact same moment that secularism had got the upper hand after the French Revolution and 15 years of French control of Rome. Could this church be rebuilt? Would the church be rebuilt? Where would the money come? It looked like it was all over. And in the eyes of the tourists who went to sketch the beauty of the flames or the pathos of the ruins, it seemed like the church had come to its end. But it hadn't. As the popes put out the call, the entire world answered. Catholics, Protestant, Orthodox, and even Muslims all responded to the call to rebuild St. Paul's. As we look around the church today, we see donation after donation, from the malachite altar to the alabaster columns to the alabaster windows, an entire conglomeration of people gathered together from all over the world to restore this great pilgrimage site. The construction of St. Paul's outside the walls, perhaps more than any of the other churches, brings us to the vision of what it means to be a pilgrim. The vast five aisles, uncluttered by furnishing, draw people together and focus them in the same direction. We travel down that nave from the Latin word navis, or boat, all in the same boat, all seeking safe harbor. And as we move towards that safe harbor represented by Christ in glory in the apse, there we pass by the tomb of St. Paul. He, the man who first brought the promise of salvation and the word of God to Rome and to the world.
You've been listening to From Tourist to Pilgrim, a podcast written and narrated by Liz Lev, produced by Johanna Bronkova and Mara Micheli.